during the summer months, I preached through the Psalms. Psalms for the summer. We taught, had a Bible study series through the Psalms, and we preached through the Psalms. During the month of October, I'll be preaching about the importance, significance, priority, and power of prayer. My hope and aspiration is that we become a prayerful congregation, that every family becomes a prayerful family unit, that every individual becomes more prayerful in their individual lives. Amen. We sing a song that says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." The scripture's been read this morning, Mark chapter 11. I want to lift verse 17 again in your hearing. "Then he taught them, saying to them, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." Amen. I want to preach a simple message this morning, simple yet I hope to be profound and spiritual, becoming a house of prayer. Becoming a house of prayer. Lord, bless your word. Bless me to be a blessing. Let your word go forth with power and clarity. Remove every hindrance, distraction, obstacle, barrier that would keep us from hearing from you. Lord, give us ears to hear. Let your word challenge, convict, fall fresh upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Becoming a house of prayer. There is no aggregation, institution, group, or organization like the church of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. There is no aggregation, institution, group, or organization like the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the past 2,000 years, the church of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, has been particular, special, and unique. For those of us who are members of the body of Christ called church and whose faith has been nurtured, fed, shaped, and formed by the preaching and teaching of the gospel, we can testify that while the church is imperfect, has her foibles and weaknesses, we'd rather be in the ark of safety than outside drowning in a sinful, sick world. I wish I had a witness. The church has been the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. The church has been a refuge for those of us who've been rejected and a household for the holy. The church has been a fellowship for the faithful and a hospital for the hurting. The church has been a family for those who have been forsaken and a light in the midst of darkness. The church has been our help in ages past and a house of hope for those in need of hope. There is no aggregation, institution, group, or organization like the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. According to this New Testament text, Our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, towards the end of his earthly life, has made his way to the place of worship. As Jesus, our Savior and Lord, has made his way to the place of worship, Jesus finds himself righteously indignant because those who ought to be stewards of ministry are engaging in unholy extortion by exchanging money for the temple sacrifice and charging undue usury, or what we would call exorbitant interest, so those who are worshiping can worship freely. Jesus chastises those who are abusing, exploiting, and misusing the people of God. Jesus chastises those who are misusing the place of worship. Jesus reminds them of the true call and mission of the place of worship by raising this question: is it not true that this place ought to be a house of prayer for all people, but you have misused, abused, and extorted people to make it into a den of thieves? Church, where we come to worship and praise, ought not abuse, misuse, exploit the people of God. But the church, according to our Savior and Lord, ought to be a place of prayer. As Jesus chastises those who are misusing and abusing the people of God, Jesus reminds you and I right now on this first Sunday in October that while the church has been many things to many people, the church also ought to be a house of prayer. If Jesus is accurate and correct, which Jesus is, then Jesus reminds us, Watch Chapel, that we as the people of God ought to be making prayer a priority in the life of the church and in everything that we do. Jesus describes the church as a house of prayer. For those of us who are saved and being sanctified by God, prayer ought to be a priority in our lives. Prayer ought not be optional. Prayer ought not be an addendum. Prayer ought not be an afterthought. But prayer, help me preach this, Watch Chapel, ought to be not even important, but prayer ought to be essential to everything we do in our lives. And those of us who are members of the body of Christ called church ought to be among the most prayerful people on the planet. Can I preach this? This isn't one of them shouting sermons, but this is a sermon that's going to get us spiritually right and correct in the sight of Almighty God. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. For those of us who are residents of the house, we ought to be prayerful in our lives. Can I preach this? And while prayer ought to be essential and a priority in all that we do, Watch Chapel, sometimes we are not known for being the most prayerful people in the cosmos. Sometimes we are known for other things, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent, but we are not always known for our prayerfulness. Sometimes we are known for our love, but sometimes we are known for being judgmental, but we're not always known for prayerfulness. Sometimes we're known for our zeal and hypocrisy, but we're not always known for our prayerfulness. Sometimes we are known for being mission-minded, but sometimes we are known for being holier than thou, but we're not always known for our prayerfulness. Sometimes we are known for our enthusiastic worship, Sometimes we're known for our irrelevancy, but we're not always known for our prayerfulness. Sometimes we are known for our preaching and being narrow-minded, but we're not always known for our prayerfulness. We are known for the good, the bad, and the ugly. But church, if we're going to be known for anything, we ought to be known as a people who pray. The church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ought to be a house of prayer. And I raise this question, how can Watts Chapel, those of us who are members of this church, how can we make Watts Chapel a house of prayer? Can I preach this? We become a house of prayer when everyone is engaged in prayer. Everybody has the capacity to be prayerful. Everybody can talk to and hear from Almighty God. You don't need a degree from North Carolina Central University to be a prayer warrior. You don't need to speak Hebrew or Greek to be prayerful. You don't need to know every scripture from Genesis to Revelation to be an intercessor in the house of God. You don't need to be able to teach Bible study fellowship to be prayerful. Everybody who's saved can pray. And sometimes we make excuses. Amen. I'm shy. I'm bashful. I'm an introvert. No. When it comes to something you want to talk about, you can talk about that. Ain't nobody talking to me. When it comes to Real Housewives of Atlanta or the Potomac, you are verbal about that. When it comes to whether your team is going to win today, I ain't talking trash. Amen. You are verbal about that. When it comes to who won yesterday, we are verbal. Amen. But when it comes to prayer, we become shy, introverted, and reclusive. No, everybody can call on the name of God and intercede one for another. There is no good excuse concerning why we can't pray. Everybody can pray. Amen. Can I preach this? I remember teaching my daughters when they were young how to pray. Amen. And kids pray age-appropriate prayers. Amen. Kids thanking God for Barney. Thanking God for Elmo. Y'all ain't talking to me. Thanking God for Chick-fil-A. Amen. We pray prayers that are age-appropriate. Amen. In whatever our lives lend, we ought to be prayerful about where we are. Everybody can pray. Amen. Long-term member, you can pray. Spiritual neophyte, you can pray. Person who is wrestling with issues can pray. Person who thinks they got it all together. Everyone can engage in the discipline of prayer. We become a house of prayer when everyone is engaged in the discipline of prayer. Not only does it require everyone being engaged in the discipline of prayer, we become a house of prayer, Watts Chapel, hear me, when we pray as preparation. Yeah. Prayer ought to be engaged in before we've made the decision. Before you sign the papers, before you say, I will, I shall, yes, before you say, you take a one-way ticket to the other side of town. Y'all ain't talking to me. Before you decide you are going to have three children, before you buy the new luxury sedan that's going to depreciate as soon as you drive it off the parking lot, before you buy the 5,000 square foot dream house when it's only two of y'all and y'all don't need that space. Before you lay holy hands on somebody to become a deacon, before you make the decision to build a monstrosity of a facility, before you buy the land, before you lay somebody hand on somebody that are unholy, before you do it, we ought to pray in advance. My parents used to tell me, don't put the cart before the horse. Didn't understand it then. I understand it now. Amen. The cart goes behind the horse. Amen. The horse tells the cart where to go. The cart doesn't tell the horse where to go. And sometimes, let me just be confessional on this Sunday morning. I have made mistakes in my life. Amen. I'm not by myself, but I'm just going to be humble enough to admit it, because I have made the decision, then prayed. Sometimes, if you're anything like me, you already had your mind made up concerning what you were going to do, who you were going to be with, where you were going to go, what you were going to buy, what you were going to spend, where you were going to go, how you were going to do what you were going to do. But before, amen, somebody, we didn't ask God. And God, help me preach this, is not a God who rubber stamps and confirms decisions that God did not inspire and initiate. Can I preach this? Sometimes we already got our mind made up. I'm going to marry Peaches. I'm going to North Carolina Central University. Amen. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to go here for vacation. We hadn't asked God if that's the best person for us. Hadn't asked God if this is the best institution that's a fit for us. Hadn't asked God if that is the job he wants us to have. And we have already made our mind up and asked God to rubber stamp the decision we've already made. Let me flip the script on somebody. Amen. Before you do it, you better ask God if that's the one. Before you buy it, you better ask God if it's for you. Before you make the decision, you better ask God if that's the decision God is leading you to make. Before you sign the dotted line, say, God, is it for me or is it not for me? God, is he the one? Is she the one? God, is this the one? Is that the one? Is this the right job? Is this the right institution? God, is this the right time right now? God, bless it or block it. Maybe that's the prayer we really need to pray. God, if it ain't for me, take it away. If it ain't for me, close the door. If it ain't for me, let me forget what they look like. God, if it ain't for me, take it from my mind. Take the taste out of my mouth. But God, if it's for me, make it plain. Open the door. Make the way. Make it clear. But God, if it ain't for me, block it. And before we make the decisions we make, maybe we need to pray the prayer in advance. And let me just preach this while I'm preaching real this morning. Don't just pray the prayer, but hear from God before you make the decision. Be still and know that I'm God. Prayer is not just talking to God, Watch Chapel. Prayer is listening to God as well. We don't have a problem praying to God, but some of us have a problem listening to God. Be still. Turn off the radio. Turn off Sirius XM and hear from God. Don't just pray to God and say, God, is he the one? Is she the one? Wait till God makes it plain. Make till God makes it clear. Even ask God for it. God, make it plain so I can walk in your will. Be who you want me to be. Go where you want me to go. Do what you want me to do. Pray beforehand and take time to listen as we pray. We become a house of prayer when everyone is engaged in prayerfulness. We become a house of prayer when we pray in advance. We become a house of prayer, help me preach this, Watch Chapel, when we pray intentionally. Prayer requires intentionality. Sometimes when crises come, let's be honest, we are more prayerful than regular, ordinary seasons. The doctor says things don't look good, we are prayerful. Mom or daddy going through, we are prayerful. Kids troubled, we are prayerful. Layoffs at our place of employment, we are prayerful. Things don't look good in our political climate, we are prayerful. Yet during ordinary, everyday seasons of life, we can yield to the sin of prayerlessness. Help me preach this. Yet prayer, Watch Chapel, requires intentionality. Prayer is not something we do in response to life, but prayer is something we ought to do every day, 24/7, 365. When things are going well, you ought to thank God in prayer. When you can't figure stuff out, you ought to call on the name of God for guidance and direction. Every day there is something to pray about. There is some issue. There is some concern. There is some question. There is some mystery. There is some quandary for us to call on the name of God to intervene in the lives of other people, family, and friends. And prayer, becoming a house of prayer, requires intentionality. Preacher, what do I pray for? We ought to pray for the will of God. Preacher, what do I pray for? We ought to pray for the will of God. Let me say it again. Preacher, what do I pray for? We ought to pray for the will of God. Sometimes we are frustrated because God does not seem to answer our prayers the way we are praying to God. And sometimes, Watch Chapel, God says no to our prayers because we are not praying right prayers. We pray intentionally, but the intentionality with which we pray is to seek the will of God. We pray intentionally for God's will to be done in every area of our lives and through our lives. Sometimes I have had God say no to some prayers because I was not praying according to God's will. Come here, James. You have not because you ask not, or you have not because you ask amiss. Sometimes we have prayed prayers that God did not authorize and that were not according to God's will. Help me preach this, Holy Ghost. And whenever you want God to say yes to a prayer, we got to make sure we are praying intentionally concerning the will of Almighty God. Lord, make my heart more loving. God, I answer that prayer. Lord, make me more generous. God, I answer that prayer. Lord, give me peace that passeth understanding. God, I answer that prayer. Give me the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. God will answer that prayer. Lord, make me a peacemaker. God will answer that prayer. Give me a strong anointing to preach the gospel and save souls. God will answer that prayer. Let me nurture the lives of young people so they might be champions for the Lord God. God, I answer that prayer. Some prayers God will answer because we are praying according to God's will. But sometimes we pray prayers that are selfish. Come on, talk to me. Let's just be real. I'm preaching this to the real folk right now. Some prayers we are praying that are not according to God's will. Consequently, God said, no. Amen. And can I preach this to those of us who are really real? Sometimes we have prayed prayers, amen, that are what we wanted, but that God, that would mess us up if God said yes. Come on, somebody talk to me. You ever pray a prayer, then you look back 5 months after you prayed the prayer and God said no, and you praise God that God said no? God had given us what we wanted when we wanted it. Some of us wouldn't be alive, sane, in our right minds right now. Praise be to God that we serve a God who knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it, and whose timing is always on time. We become a house of prayer when everyone is engaged. Everyone has the capacity to be a prayer warrior. We become a house of prayer when we pray in advance. We become a house of prayer. Can I preach this? When we pray intentionally, we become a house of prayer when we pray confidently. Real prayerfulness requires faith in Almighty God. The degree of our prayer lives depends in many cases on our confidence in Almighty God. If we have small confidence in God, there are some things we won't take to God because we won't believe that God is able to resolve, handle, fix, heal, provide, or protect. But for those of us who've been walking with God and who have seen God do the amazing, seen God do what folks said was impossible, seen God open doors that we never thought would be open, seen God do things in our lives that teachers said would never happen, we go to God praying not small tonight-y prayers, but we go to God praying big God-sized prayers because we are praying to God with confidence. And let me help somebody right now, church. When you go to God in prayer, we ought to go to God believing that God can do anything but fail. Sometimes we have not received what we've been seeking God for because we have not taken it to the Lord in prayer. Let me go on and testify as I close. God can do anything but fail. God is big enough to heal the crises. God is big enough to heal your body. God can open the door. God can make the way. God can deliver a drug addict. God can turn a circumstance around. God can keep your mind. God can bring you out. God can turn your hell into a heaven. God can turn your test into a testimony. Don't tell me what God can do. Do I have a witness right now? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? God can open the Red Sea. God can make the sun to shine. God can feed 5,000 with minimal resources. God can raise Jesus from a grave. And don't tell me what God can do. And when you go to God with confidence. Don't go to God saying, God, if you can. No, God, I know you can. It ain't if you can, it's if you will. So ask God to make the way. Ask God for a full scholarship. Ask God to keep your mind. Ask God to heal your body. Ask God for supernatural discipline. Ask God to build us a building. Ask God to do the amazing. Ask God to do the impossible. Ask God to make a way. And somebody knows, yes, he will. Yes, he can. Can I testify? Won't he will? Won't God do it? Won't God heal bodies? Won't God open doors? Won't God keep your mind? Won't God give you a job? Won't God provide for you? Won't God protect you? Yes, he will. Thank God. I got confidence in a big God. Stand to your feet. I dare you to ask God for what you want God to do. I dare you to ask God for what you need God to do. And let me help somebody who's super spiritual. Don't just pray for the big stuff. Pray for the small stuff as well. Amen. Don't just pray for the huge, gigantic stuff. Pray for the small stuff. We ought to pray for a cure to cancer. We ought to pray for clean water. Not just the huge stuff, but the small stuff. Amen. There may be somebody this morning. You're here. You're not saved. You don't have a church home, or you're saved but don't have a church home. We invite you right now, my sister, my brother, to become a member of Watch Chapel, a church that is becoming a house of prayer. If I'm speaking to you, my sister, my brother, I invite you right now to accept Jesus as your Savior and or to unite with this congregation. You're here, my sister, you're here, my brother. I invite you to come from wherever you are. You don't have a church home. You're not connected to a church. I invite you right now. Come on forward, my sister. Come on forward, my brother. We've been praying for you all week.